Yes.
So
yes.
Then, in order to bolster his desire for approval in Shiawassee County of a better supplement than he was getting, he asked the Supreme Court to give him a pat on the back, so to speak, at a time when this other stuff was festering. And Mike O'Hara was a yes vote for that.
Yeah.
And it all, the result of this was first published in the county paper in Livingston County, in Howell or Brighton, one or the other.
Yeah, what was the name of the publisher of that paper?
A lot of publicity. Well, no, this was the regular, this wasn't the Wildcat paper. But this was a paper that was tuned in to Mike Carlin's interest, and Mike apparently heard the word from John Deathmer's then Chief Justice, passed it on to the paper, thinking it would do him some good, and us news hawks in Lansing, who were bird dogging the court, trying to keep track of what was going on, didn't know anything about this.
Yeah.
We charged Deathmer's.
Yeah,
and John, with some reluctance, finally got out the minutes, and they showed that Adam said, "Oh, I can't do it. I can't vote that way." And I've forgotten how the rest of it came out. Somebody was gone. Kelly was gone, I think. But there were these votes, one of whose votes was O'Hara's, saying, "Mike Carlin is a great fella, and he's doing a fine job. You ought to get pay raise." That was about the way it translated.
Yeah.
The newspaper people in Lansing were peeved because this was a scoop for the Livingston County Journal, some weekly paper, and none of the rest of us had a shot at it. Yeah. Well, this also caused a little backwash amongst the news hawks of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that didn't hurt. That didn't help Mike O'Hara.
No.
Oh, well, we're getting off with some strange things here, but that was sort of an interesting chapter in some respects.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, we got this constant change in the chemistry of the court. Remember, we talked about that a little bit. And in 73, we got two new members. Remember who they were? They were Mary Coleman, the first woman to sit on the Supreme Court of Michigan.
Right.
And a good friend of yours, a former colleague on the Court of Appeals, Charles Leonard Levin.
Right.
Let's talk just for a moment. Here's the arrival of the first woman to sit on the Michigan Supreme Court in the history of Michigan. Was there any ripple within the court over this, or how did you? What do you remember about her advent?
Well, Mary had been the president, I guess, of the Probate Judges Association, and she was very well liked by all the probate judges, and so she was certainly very well known to everybody on the court, and I think we all had a very high regard for her. Personally, she was a beautiful, charming woman, and professionally, she had served well as a probate judge and was very highly regarded by her colleagues. So I don't recall that there was any resentment or anything in the fact that she was a woman. I don't think bothered anybody, and I don't think I don't know that any of us was really into the the women's movement at that point. I'm not sure that answers your question.
Well, I just, people speculate that if you can think back 20 years, 18 years, there hadn't been women there, there would have been some modest mechanical problems. The men's world, the women back then and prior to that time were some of them a little grumpy about the failure to provide sufficiently for women and women's needs, the bathroom facilities, stuff like that, mm-hmm. the conduct of men. You know, there was a time when there were spittoons all over the place, and mm-hmm. women didn't, I don't suppose that was in accord with the thinking of a lot of people about how the surroundings ought to be with the women present.
Well, I now that you mention it, I do recall that we all agreed that we'd have to clean up our language.
That's just a mailman.
Mailman, yeah.